DNVR Ref Pod. We're here presented by Breckenridge Brewery. That's right. Big Hank and Dr. Dre here on a remote show with Justin and Jake in Vegas basking in the sun. What a life, Henry. What a life.
What a life. I thought I would be jealous of them, but I have spent enough time in Vegas recently that I just know it's not where I need to be.
Wow. Wow. That's where I look at that Jakester in the chat already.
Oh, wow.
Hankster, it's the equivalent of podcasting using the Breck beer locator. I'm just using the beer locator and letting you drive the show.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's exciting.
You're the brewer.
That's exciting. Let's see. I mean, let's just start at the top. I think that today the plan is to just dig into this draft from a Broncos perspective. You know, on the draft pod, we get into the nitty gritty a lot. Going through like who the 10th best running back is and that sort of thing. And we'll be back to that soon. But I think today, especially now that free agency isn't over, but the big moves have kind of been decided. It's a chance to just jump into draft season for Broncos fans with a bunch of the big picture conversations. You know, who could be the targets at 12? And we all kind of know that the first decision is quarterback or not quarterback, and everything seems to be pointing at quarterback. But how do these quarterbacks stack up? If the Broncos don't take one at 12, who's going to be there in, you know, the third round or the fifth round to jump into? If the Broncos do decide to take a quarterback, who's going to be there? And then on top of that, just is it a deep class? Where is it a deep class? Where can the Broncos find value later on? And what are some of those names you need to know? So I'm excited about it because this can kind of like a draft podcast for dummies and hopefully get some more people interested so we can get into the nitty gritty again over the next like month and a half. But we thought the most fun way to start would be to do a quick little mock draft, run 1 through 12, which is the Broncos draft pick. Dre, do you want to take the even numbered picks or the odd numbered picks?
Give me even. I'll react.
Oh, I like it. I like it. Okay, well, that makes my job easy. The Bears, you know, maybe there's a little hesitation. No, there's not. They're taking Caleb Williams. You know, the fact that the whole quarterback trade market has been pretty lame makes you wonder if maybe they could do something crazy and just hold on to Justin Fields and trade the Caleb Williams pick. That's a bad idea. This is an easy one. Open and shut, it's Caleb Williams, and there's no debate.
Yep, I think that's right, and we'll just go straight to the Commandos. Too much to get into, to lollygag, and this is where it becomes a tougher decision because Jaden Daniels has really gained some steam on Drake May here. I still just think it's Drake May. I think he's the guy who has the more consistent years on tape at the high level. I think you buy his upside, you buy his age. We went through some of the Parcells rules concerns, but you know what? It also makes this draft a little easier. Let's just go Drake May at 2, not complicate things. Yeah. I don't think free agency impacts either of these picks.
No, I don't think so either. I guess I do have one question though. Maybe we should see this for later when we get into the quarterbacks. Do you think it's more of a competition between Jaden Daniels and Drake May for the second quarterback off the board, or more of a competition with Drake May and JJ McCarthy for the third pick off the board? Because there's a little bit of buzz at this point that JJ McCarthy could even be jumping Drake May as people look at him as maybe a little bit more raw despite having played so much.
No, in my eyes, it's more competition at that 2-3 spot than it is at the 3-4 spot. And for me, the jostling between 3 and 4 is still between Jaden Daniels and JJ.
Okay. Yeah, that probably makes sense. Third pick, we got the Patriots. I'm going to keep it simple again with Jaden Daniels sitting right there. This is actually a fun one because in the DNVR Madden League, I think that would have been like 2020. I had Jaden Daniels playing for my Patriots in the Madden League. So it's a little circling back here. Yeah, he was like a 5th, 6th round pick at the time, but it comes through. Patriots take Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I think maybe the toughest of the teams to be drafted from if you're a quarterback.
Definitely.
If you're a quarterback, would you rather be drafted by the Patriots or the Broncos?
Broncos. I think the Broncos is an easy one. I mean, you got Cortland Sutton. You've got the old line, which you've at least invested in, Marvin Mims, and then Sean Payton is kind of the X factor there. Patriots are just question marks everywhere.
Yeah, no, Pats kind of suck. Number four, we're going to keep it simple. Marvin Harrison Jr. I think Kyler did enough. I think the new coaching staff did enough with Kyler to make everyone feel like, hey, let's load up on weapons and Marvin Harrison Jr., that special of a prospect. Now things get fun at five with the Chargers, Hank.
Yep, and trading Rondale Moore for a quarterback this morning makes it seem even more like
wide receiver.
It's like -600 for Marvin Harrison to go there. Not much discussion. Number five, the Chargers. This is one where you could go a bunch of different directions. I'm just sticking with Brock Bowers here. He's had like the conversations about maybe he should be lower. But when you look at that team, even after cutting Mike Williams, I still think that they go tight end. It's maybe a little bit tougher to make that case, but I'm sticking to it and I'm going Brock Bowers.
Wow. In spite of it all, huh?
I think that this is one of those things where, you know, you do have to look at him a little bit differently with the height and the weight and some of those sorts of things. He isn't necessarily a freak, but whenever you're a top prospect, there's that moment around this time of year when it's like, well, you know, he does have this. He does it. Like Caleb Williams has all these concerns. You know, it's like, well, he didn't go through the testing. He didn't do whatever. I think this is just one of those blips for Brock Bowers, a guy who we've known for 3 years is the best tight end in this class at the very least and a top 10 pick probably. So I'm not buying into the hype that he's falling.
Love it. Kind of feels very Charger-esque, like taking the guy that quote-unquote drops to you through the draft process and is still like a hell of a player, like a Derwin James, like a Joey Bosa, what have you. Okay, six, the Giants. I am torn because it hasn't quite worked out on the O-line, though we've invested heavily. They've lost Saquon. Again, this isn't the draft to replace Saquon, but maybe you replace Saquon with another offensive playmaker, and Malik Nabers is just too good a value at this point. So I'm going to take Malik Nabers, see what you can do with Daniel Jones and Dable after that really good first season, terrible second season, but again, has had zero weapons. See what Nabers can do in more of that Stephon Diggs type role in that offense.
Yeah. I think that's a good pick. And, you know, I'm going to get a little bit aggressive here, maybe, with the Titans up next. You know, they obviously still have DeAndre Hopkins. They've got Calvin Ridley. They've just signed him a couple days ago, maybe yesterday. And, you know, that third receiver, though, I think there's a little bit of doubt. You know, Treylon Burks is there, made a couple plays. I think that Romo Dunze is the best prospect on the board. I know that there's some pushback with the offensive lineman there. Like they could really use a Joe Alt. I think the temptation to just add one more weapon and put this group way over the top with Romo Dunze is too tempting. And this might be me overthinking things a little bit, but when you've got Will Levis there, give him every opportunity. Yeah. Give him all three of these guys and see what happens. This might be a terrible pick though, not just giving him Alt.
Yeah, not going O-line is a tough one, but, you know, it's not Mike Vrabel anymore. I don't know that that tough guy getting big people is necessarily a huge priority. We go to the Falcons. You just talked about the Rondale Moore trade. At pick eight, they've loaded up on so much talent offensively. The O-line, not bad, so I think you got to just go defense. Where you have some decent pieces, you know, we don't hate their corners. We don't hate their safeties. It's the front seven where you're really lacking for talent. And so it's a lot of options here. I just think Dallas Turner's a guy the NFL is going to love. He tested, obviously, really well. He has that over Latu, who maybe has some injury concerns. Bit more high profile and productive career than a guy like Chop Robinson, who's a favorite of mine. And I do think Jared Verse has lost some ground a little bit. So give me Dallas Turner, the Alabama edge, to the Falcons at 8.
Yeah, I like it. He is the heavy favorite to be the first defensive player off the board. There's been like a couple different guys who've held that spot over the last couple months. But this does feel like a pretty solid pick there. It is going to be interesting to see where this first defensive player goes, though, because there's a chance that it falls outside that top 10.
I know. Yeah. We'll make a good time on this, Hank. Number 9, the Bears, yep. Second pick.
Yeah. Joe Walt. I mean, he's still on the board. You got to just make the move to keep him up north up there, too.
Yeah.
This one feels too easy if he falls this far.
Yeah. Yeah, could have maybe added another, playmaker, but with Odunze gone, that becomes a lot harder to do. And Brock Bowers. Wow, we really loaded up. So, I mean, Broncos kind of staring at second best defender, O-line, or that next tier of quarterbacks, potentially. Mm-hmm. Number 10, speaking of this is where quarterback alley commences.
Yep.
And it's not great for the Broncos to be sandwiched in the middle or on the back end of quarterback alley. It's the Jets at 10. We wouldn't have been thinking quarterback even a week ago. But I don't think I don't think I'm creating any conspiracy theories if I were to suggest Aaron Rodgers maybe not as certain to come back with the Jets anymore. And so gosh, would you dare throw JJ McCarthy into this kind of situation?
I've got a lot of thoughts here.
It's a guaranteed-to-fail situation.
If Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback and you draft a quarterback right behind him, I mean, we've seen this piss him off before. It'll probably piss him off again. He looks at it as like maybe his last year, maybe a couple more years. Who knows? If you're the GM up there, you're just asking for trouble by making that move. You also just saw what happens when you don't have a backup. Like, it would have been really nice if you'd had a guy last year who I guess maybe they were excited to be giving reps to Zach Wilson, but were they really? I would be tempted to do it. At the same time, you just can't. I feel like it sounds too perfect to make that move after they do it with Jordan Love. You probably can't do it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'll go Jared Verse. I've always felt like they were an edge away from being a really special defense. And they do draft Will McDonald last year. I think you kind of double up. McDonald, if you added some kilos, can be moved inside some, maybe where Leonard Williams isn't anymore, or what have you. Let's just go with another edge in Jared Verse. Was tempted by O-line as well, but
I don't know. Yeah, can't go wrong with an edge rusher.
Yes.
Number 11, though, Minnesota Vikings. It's JJ McCarthy. I mean,
yeah, they're trading up. They're trading up with the Jets, probably.
They probably are.
It feels like they want them.
Otherwise, the Broncos are probably trading up with the Jets. So you just got to do it so the Broncos don't. Most likely, I would guess the Vikings, Broncos, or Raiders even do trade up and snag somebody snag JJ at 9, 10, somewhere around there. But with no trades, Vikings at 11. Even the Saints could be tempted. No, they've got Stanley
Derrick. Yes.
But I mean,
Raiders all definitely. Those teams right there, 10 through 14.
Yeah.
It's quarterback alley. It's kind of like, I'm going to take a sec to think about this Broncos pick. It's kind of like when you go to Breckenridge Brewery, like the farmhouse, and you got to pick what beer to select. The official craft beer at the MVR, you have so many options. It's like picking from all these quarterbacks in this 2024 draft. You want JJ McCarthy, maybe the Avalanche Amber Ale of Breck Brews offerings. Do you want more of a Mile High City lager? Is that the Bo Nix, perchance, Henry?
It could be.
Yeah, it suits the common man, right? The common man loves a good Bo Nix and a Mile High City lager. Broncos Country Pale Ale. Is that Michael Penix? The point is, whatever you do with Breckenridge Brew, they have a taste for you. Perfect dairy to unwind when I'm done with this pod, done with a couple more calls I've got coming. Have a nice, tasty Breck Brew by the fire. Colorado AF, you got to check them out. Find a Breck Brew near you at the beer with the beer locator, breckbrew.com, to find a beer near you. They've been with us for the longest. They're the homies. And speaking of homies, boy, conference, tournaments, galore, college hoops. I know Hank's got it cranking right now the background. He's also betting on all these games. Mm-hmm. I've found a new lease on life. I'm a big tennis guy now. Tennis panels available, free agency when you're not tuning into the DMVR Broncos show and we're not going live for 2 hours. You might want to watch NFL Network, Nuggets, Avs, playoffs. I hear everyone complaining about ESPN being blocked out for them yesterday. What are you doing? Get Altitude. Do all this at Fubo TV. Fubo TV is what I'm talking about. You're like, Andre, you just named all these sports. What are you even talking about? Are you having a problem? Can you seriously, are you struggling this much to figure out who the Broncos should draft at 12 after Hank took JJ McCarthy? No, I'm telling you how many different offerings Fubo TV has. It's so affordable. I love the extra sports packages, 100 hours DVR. I've loved Fubo. I've got it on my Roku TVs. I've got it on my smart TV in the other room. iPad. I can watch it on the go. It's a beautiful thing. You got to get in on Fubo TV. Watch all your favorite college football, NFL with Fubo. Go to www.fubotv.com/ this one's important, DNVR. To sign up for 15% off on your first month of Fubo Pro. They saved me tons of money on the cable plan I used to have. I highly recommend you check them out. FuboTV.com/DMVR.
Yes. So, Drake.
Yeah.
The 12th pick.
Oh, my gosh, Hank. Okay. Back it up real quick. Had a moment last night. Saw a Schefter tweet about how the Broncos are using Russell Wilson's dead cap. And they're taking on most of it this year, but still leaving some for next year. Mm-hmm. Next year feels like a banger free agency, Hank.
Oh, yeah. So as it stands now, they've got $113 million. Now, that includes rollovers from this year. And you'll have, like, some draft picks. Like, your first-round picks going to be making, like, $5 million probably. Yeah. So that goes down to, like, 108. But realistically, like, they should have like $65 million minimum, and probably closer to like $80 million. Now you got to extend Pat Surtain. You got to extend, oh no, I guess Pat Surtain, they haven't officially accepted the fifth year option.
Yeah.
So you got to take $20 million off for that.
Is Bulls up then next year? So that'll be a tough decision one way or another. You're going to have to pay a left tackle.
Yeah.
Anyways, Bulls, what I'm saying is, you know, we've all been down bad this start of free agency. I kind of feel like next offseason, it's on, and we are so back. You know what I'm saying?
It's possible, yeah.
So, and how much will they drop off from last year? To be seen. You don't know, but could not be a ton. Could not be a ton.
It's possible.
So I wonder if they find their quarterback, could this be set up to where by next offseason, you feel like, oh, shit, they're the Texans. They've got the hot young quarterback. They've got all this money to spend in the cap, and like the Broncos are back.
That's the dream scenario.
While most of this offseason I've been thinking, you know, they just need to take a patient approach here. Don't put a rookie quarterback in this situation. What are you doing? Rookie quarterback, he's going to fail. You're setting him up for failure. Now I'm kind of like the Broncos are in 2025. The Broncos are back. So,
yeah. I mean, you've got Cortland Corum, you got Mims. Those other receivers, maybe one of them steps up. Tim Patrick could be himself.
Yeah,
you got a decent offensive line. Like, it's not a terrible situation for a rookie.
Javonte's coming back.
You hope he's back to himself next year.
Yeah. So
the big question.
If you stay at 12, I kind of feel like it might just be a quarterback. It might just be a quarterback. So and Penix feels like the guy. Penix feels like the guy.
Glad you said that. You know, I've heard a lot of people say he isn't a good fit for Sean Payton. And I'm curious why that is.
Well, no. Yeah?
No, that's a thing people say. It's a comment we get on the podcast all the time.
Zach, I think I've heard on these airwaves say he feels like the most Sean Payton. And that's because he reminds you most of Drew Brees, right? If you were in this class, who reminds you most of Drew Brees? It's the man with the Penix.
Probably, yeah.
And I see that. I see that for sure. I would counter that with saying, to me, in the last at least 8 years in New Orleans, at least five, Sean Payton showed us that he was very intrigued by the quarterback run game. And not just with Taysom Hill, not just with the Mississippi kid he drafted in the seventh round who kind of fit that mold as well. But even with how he's talked about, he was interested in Mahomes, right, in that Mahomes draft. And his year in the media talked about how he really liked Caleb Williams. He loved Caleb Williams. I think he's just shown that in his evolution as an evaluator, as a coach, he probably is looking for someone that's a bit different from Drew Brees. He made it work with Drew Brees, but I think he understands if you have that athlete with that size who also gives you that quarterback running game, that's a different element that really makes you dangerous. So while I agree he feels like the most Sean Payton-y, he only feels like the most Sean Payton-y based off what we've seen Sean Payton do in his New Orleans career.
Which is 15 years or something, sure, of Drew Brees, and 1 year where he actually picked somebody other than Drew Brees, and it wasn't as much like Drew Brees.
Drew Brees was set in place there, right? Mm-hmm. I think doing it all over in 2024, he might go about it slightly differently. That said, I still think you go Penix. I don't think Bo Nix is the size, speed athlete to make you pound the table and say, no, give me this guy. I can build a more college offense around him. I can get my Jalen Hurts on and make. So you go Penix. You go with a veteran guy who might be able to speak the same language that Sean speaks a little sooner than later, be accurate, allow you to survive. And, you know, he's going to have some decent vertical options. That's where Penix is really great. And he's going to have Cortland Sutton to throw a, contested catches to. Marvin Mims' incredible speed, and Tim Patrick, who I always thought has been a nice little vertical threat. So that's where I'd go.
Yeah, I think so. You know what? While we're here, let's just talk about these quarterbacks. Let's knock this part out because, you know, if we're talking about the Broncos draft, I think that's kind of where you have to start, because to me, that's the one position where you know the Broncos are drafting somebody. You know, there can be a question about whether it's somebody in the first round. I think that that's seems to be the most likely situation. But even if they don't draft somebody in the first round, they're going to be taking somebody in the second round, the third round, maybe the fifth round. Now that they have eight picks, I think it's essentially a guarantee. The one guarantee is that they take a quarterback. So starting, we can hit real quick.
Exactly.
Caleb Williams is going to be off the board. For Broncos perspective, there's really no reason to talk about him. Jaden Daniels, there's a Drake May, slight chance that they could, one of them falls to five. Six in the Broncos can trade up.
Even a slight chance they get all the way to quarterback alley. But then you're jostling for four other teams to get in the ninth, tenth spot and draft that guy if they fall. Like it's and again, trading up means the Broncos are a bit behind the eight ball compared to the other teams with no second round.
Totally. Jaden Daniels, what do you think of Jaden? I mean, obviously he's a great runner of the football. I think he steps into the NFL and Lamar Jackson is better than him at it. There might not be anybody else. You know, you can make like a case for Josh Allen just because of how physical he is. And he's kind of automatic in on third downs that he can go get you something. To me, he steps into the NFL. He's the best runner. What is he as a passer?
Yeah, right now he is a guy who has thrown some incredible throws deep. Outside the sideline, outside the numbers. And maybe a little hesitant to let it fly inside the numbers. So he's maybe not the most pro-ready. And you're gambling on that side of his game coming along a bit more. And I think you're going to have to adjust that offense to him in the first few years. And then what scares me as a runner is that he's got a bit of a slender frame. And, you know, I've just seen him go down, like in that Alabama game where he goes down and he's out the rest of the second half. You wonder, is that going to happen in the NFL? He's not that Kyler type where I'm like, oh, but look at how well he slides and gets out of. Like, dude just takes on some unnecessary hits sometimes. And so, yeah, that's the scouting report.
Yeah, I like it. Also, some Lamar Jackson there in the, you know, you got to build the offense around him for a few years. This year, they kind of took the leash off Lamar and put him in a pro-style offense.
Yeah.
That was his age 26 season. So through age 25, they run him in a bit of a gimmicky offense. Now he's off and running like a quarterback. So it's kind of hoping to be along that same path.
And that's the name of the game, right? Hank is basically draft a guy who's talented, who has enough raw talent that they're going to be able to find enough success their first couple years before their mind can catch up to the speed of the game in the NFL. And then you hope that second part of their game where they become a little more cerebral. What's interesting about the Lamar Jackson comp, though, is Lamar, as a passer, the scouting report read opposite. Lamar, outside the numbers, wasn't quite there. Inside the numbers, though, you really felt good about what Lamar did. Jaden is the exact opposite. It's all about – it's all outside the numbers. But in the middle, you worry. And I don't know, man, like – the outside stuff looks better, gets you more excited. The inside stuff is kind of how you survive in the NFL, yeah?
Totally, 100%. For what it's worth, Bet365 has the Broncos the eighth most likely to get Jaden Daniels. That's plus 1,800. Yeah. It's unlikely, but they're one of the teams that, if he were to slip, would definitely try to trade up. Drake May... get like big, all the tools in the world, maybe hasn't quite put those together in the way that you'd like, or at least that's that's why I might be a little bit lower on him, is just because I feel like there's some bad decisions, a lack of processing. You know, the numbers don't necessarily jump off the page either. What would you say about Drake May?
Yeah, I think he from a scouting perspective checks off such important boxes you cannot teach: size, athleticism, arm strength,
the deep ball, you
know, the deep ball, a couple years of, you know, some really flashy throws. And then there's some other stuff, like he's North Carolina, especially last year, he was getting into some bad habits. I think you've illustrated some of those bad habits really nicely. Mm-hmm. So you could expand on those. But that's going to be the thing. You know, he's young, and I think in most other years where you maybe don't have the depth at the quarterback position, you have this year, it's much easier to overlook Drake May's deficiencies and just be like, screw it, man. He looks like a franchise quarterback. He feels like a franchise quarterback. We'll see if it actually pans out. But like, It's there's enough talent where I'm just going to roll the dice and figure out the rest later.
You kind of have to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so again, like, probably not a Broncos option, but you never know if he slips, if JJ McCarthy passes him and you can get up to the sixth pick, then maybe you can do it. After that, JJ McCarthy's kind of next on the list. JJ third most likely, plus 450. Non-betters, that means 4.5 to 1 odds. He's really risen over the past 2 months or so. Why is he risen?
It's a lot of the stuff I was saying on this here podcast before the national championship even was, JJ is going to get a lot of hype because NFL evaluators, especially the teams in the league that run that Shanahan offense, which Broncos fans, it's your time, you know this one because we all grew up watching it, you know, the bootleg, the half field throws, like you could easily envision him very early in his career looking like a more raw talented Brock Purdy and being able to run that. And while there are some concerns when you watch the tape from this last year that they kind of kept the shackles on him, and you got to remember the kind of situation Michigan was in, the scandals, and the fact that their schedule was really easy outside of Penn State, their whole season was working up to the big game against Ohio State and then the Big Ten championship and the national semifinal and beyond. So they kind of played a very conservative playbook, not really letting JJ show off all his skills. But the NFL doesn't seem to mind that. The NFL's kind of like, yeah, he got coached up by Harbaugh, so we're going to believe in that. What you need to know is he's got that size, he's got the athleticism, and there are some flashes on tape where both from within the pocket or moving and being off balance, he has flashed the ability to really make some nice tight window throws, squeeze the ball in there. Problem with him, most inconsistent of all these guys, specifically speaking as a passer. And it's all going to come down to how much are you willing to give him that pass, because he, A, didn't throw it nearly as many times as the other guys were throwing it per game. So the passing attack never got in the kind of rhythm you would see. And he's running more of a pro style and pro style concept. True. So it's not like, you know, 80% from Bo Nix means a lot less than 60% from JJ McCarthy, because they're not like wide open screens that you or I could complete.
Maybe. Exactly.
You have a nice arm. I've got a pretty shitty arm, so I won't claim.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think where I've come around a little bit is just going back and watching all the third downs, because it really was a kind of a run pass offense, because you're going out there, you know, play Rutgers, for example, and hand the ball off, pick up 7 yards, hand the ball off, pick up 8 yards, and all of a sudden it's first down again. So how could you ever get away from that? But then third down, when you get there, it was kind of the JJ McCarthy show, and he does a lot of the things, the off-script plays, you know, the getting out of the pocket, waiting for somebody to get open, finding him open, throwing him open, and converting those. And that, to me, has become kind of the biggest strength that you can have in the NFL. You know, that's made Patrick Mahomes Patrick Mahomes, is that, oh, nothing's open on third down. He just finds a way to make it work out. You know, Aaron Rodgers before him does a lot of that sort of stuff. And I think it's easy to see that skill in JJ. And if he winds up being the kind of guy who, you know, first down and second down, you say, hey, he can go get us 6 yards every time. If we just, you know, if we got cover three, there's four defenders short, we run five curls, he's going to get to the right guy. You know, that sort of stuff where you can just find the easy plays.
Yeah,
it's going to work out. And on top of that, just not spike passes. Like when somebody's open, just throw the ball to him and not put in the dirt. There's a little bit too much of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why I've come around a little bit and would be willing to trade up for him.
That's a great point. I think the red zone, you can see some of that too.
Also,
like
that
in those situations where like it more of it falls on him, he's tended to come through more often than not. It's why he literally just lost one college game
his entire
career. So stuff.
He also didn't even participate in seven of the fourth quarters this season because Michigan was up so much.
Correct.
Like he's not battle tested, which is a crazy thing to say about a guy who just won a national championship.
Right. Right. And I mean, go to our Parcells rules episode and see how many of those he checks off for such a young quarterback who's only started for two seasons.
Totally. From there, you know, Michael Penix is who we had up next. Penix might just be the best football thrower in this draft class. Like when you just see the way he puts the ball where it needs to be, that's impressive. And that to me is why I would be really tempted to take him at 12. I would love that pick. Obviously some concerns there too.
Yeah. Sounds like the NFL is a bit torn on that, but he really gets it up with a lot of zip. He can throw it to all fields. He can throw it with accuracy and anticipation, probably the best ball placement on any of these passers. Mm-hmm. And what I really like about Penix, two things. One, he's had success at every stop. And I mean, he's the only guy who's had success as a starting quarterback for Indiana football. And feels
since
like my 94. Lifetime.
Since 1994. Yeah. That was, he had the best record since then. And that was the last time they had back-to-back winning seasons.
There you go. And I mean, Washington, they've had their ups and downs, but they were quite down when he took over. And the two seasons he had were absolutely amazing. Second thing that really impresses me is he really has such a knack for buying himself extra time in the pocket. There are so many plays where I'll see a defender as I'm like almost dead to rights. And for most guys, it's like, ah, shit, I know what's going to happen in the next frame. It's about to get taken down. Penix has this ability to buy himself a little extra time and like flip his hips and still generate power to get accurate throws out. I think it's a very underrated part of his game. And I think it's why he succeeded so much this past season. Very intriguing. 24, injury history. I don't think a lot of – there's a wide variance on where people think he'll go, and there are definitely a good amount of NFL evaluators that are not projecting him in the top 15 because of that.
Yep. Totally. Yeah, the ability to get the ball out quickly is that's another one that just totally stands out. To me, it's like it's a math equation. Like if it's an out route, you've got to get the ball to the sideline right here in this amount of time. And you kind of work backwards and it's, well, how fast can you throw the football? Like how long does it take the ball to travel there? That arm strength, like that's the part of it.
Right.
Before that, it's how quickly does the ball get out of your hand? And for Penix, he gets the ball out of his hand so quickly. And before that, it's when do you realize that that's where the ball needs to be? And so you get the processing, the release, and then the speed to get it there. And with the ability to see things coming open before they're open and the quick release, like that just solves so many problems for Michael Penix that, you know, it just feels so unlikely that he takes a sack because the ball comes out so quickly. For what it's worth, Broncos are fourth most likely to get him at plus 700. And then the last of the top six, Bo Nix, the Broncos are the favorite for Bo Nix, 3-1 odds. He isn't necessarily my favorite, but what do you think of him, Dre?
Yeah. He's shown a lot in the last 2 years at Oregon. Very good dual threat quarterback in college who has just incredible production, where he really took his game to the next level. This year, the last 2 years at Oregon is in how decisive he was. And that's where you see these accuracy numbers. No matter if he had to run the ball or he's doing a little read option, he's just reading that one edge defender, or he's throwing a go route because he knows he has one-on-one coverage outside, or even he's throwing a screen to the sideline, he's doing it all with such supreme decisiveness. And that really led to a very, very accurate season where he's putting the ball where he wants. And then he was adding layers to his game where this year I was seeing a lot more eye manipulation, more confidence throwing it over the middle. And he had completely mastered that attack and was feeling really good about it. It's a simple offense. So that makes the evaluation harder. What outside of that setting, outside of that decisiveness, how many of the traits he has do you truly feel like are going to make him a top 15 NFL quarterback, top 12, top 10? There's not a ton. And that's why to me, this draft evaluation, it was key to see how big is he, how athletic is he. And he just isn't quite Jalen Hurts. He's definitely not Lamar Jackson. And that gives me some pause to where I think his ceiling might be limited, where that decisiveness and dual threat ability can only take you so far. Is he just a more confident Desmond Ridder? And aside from that, as you and I were talking about, I think maybe everything you hear me say, you think like, well, at least he's a safe guy, right? He's a game manager type. Bo Nix's history has not shown us that he's a game manager. He's more of a playmaker. Mm-hmm. And in college, the talent warranted accepting that playmaking to maybe risk-taking equation. I worry that in the NFL, because that true raw talent isn't that level, that could suffer.
100%. 100%. You know, we were talking about that, and I brought up, you know, he makes this great throw for a touchdown. I think it was in the Washington game. Where he rolls out of the pocket to the right, and there's a receiver kind of cutting back against him, and like on his way to the ground, he like kind of slides and whips the ball in like a shortstop to the receiver who's also going to the ground. It's like a 7-yard throw, but he hits that pocket so perfectly. You're like, oh wow, there is some magic here for sure. But then the very next throw is just a terrible interception into double coverage, and you're like, well, that erases the great play because you just did something so dumb. And that's why he's kind of the lowest to me, is for the reasons you said. You know, you compared him to a Jalen Hurts with a not as strong of an arm and less athletic. Yeah. And what does that leave you with?
Smaller too.
Yeah. So that's Bo Nix to me. And again, like if you're picking a quarterback at 12, you're not getting obviously one of the top guys. So that's where that's kind of where he fits into that equation.
Yeah, for sure.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right. Done with the quarterbacks. Real quick, finished up that mock draft a while ago now, but Broncos trade up. It seems like they're probably trading up for quarterback J.J. McCarthy, for example. If they trade down, you know, into the 20s or so, who are they looking at there? And this is probably a world in which they're not taking a quarterback in the first round, although, you know, that could be a range where you get Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix.
If they were to trade up for a non-quarterback, who would they trade up for, or what?
That's actually a good question.
Trade up for?
I like that first one too. Yeah.
So, I think Drake May would be Sean Payton's first target to trade up for as a quarterback, outside of Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, we have coached literally on record, so that helps.
That does help.
So I think it'd be Drake May next. Just dreaming on that upside, dreaming on that talent. Don't think Jaden Daniels would be that far off, though. I think they're neck and neck. I think JJ is like next tier guys you would trade up for. And then it's kind of Penix, Bo in a category of their own. And I, as I was saying, I've been on this, like, what does Sean Payton think of running quarterbacks for a while.
Yeah.
So I really, that one to me really comes down to how much has Sean, what does Sean think of those two guys?
Totally. I think you're right about the running quarterbacks. Like, you can't put them in a box because of Drew Brees. You know, you get a bunch of those comments in the chat during the Broncos show when we talk about the quarterbacks, people saying, well, which one of these guys, you know, he wouldn't want Tyler Huntley, for example, because he wants somebody that's like high Q processor type, somebody who can run an offense and not make mistakes. And it's like, well, those guys don't really exist. Like, that's the quarterback everybody wants. You know, that's the Tom Brady, like, those sorts, Drew Brees. But when you're talking about the guys left in free agency, you're not finding the guy who's just going to make good decisions every time and get the ball where it needs to be. Those just don't exist in that range. And so putting Sean Payton in the box of that's the guy who he needs, like, those are great traits, and if he can get it, that's great. But it's similar saying, like, you know, Michael Malone. When Nikola Jokic retires, people are going to say, well, you know, they got to find a center. They don't necessarily need the most athletic center. You know, what they kind of want is a guy who can, you know, make really good decisions and be a passer from the post. And that's how they'll replace Nikola Jokic. It's like, well, no, it works because it's Nikola Jokic. It isn't because that's what Michael Malone wants in a center. There's a good chance that when Nikola retires, it's, let's go get somebody who's 7'2" and jumps out of the gym and can block shots and knock things down. That's it. When you leave Drew Brees, you can't just be looking for the next Drew Brees because you're just not going to find it. So I think you're totally right about looking at those athletic quarterbacks. That was a bit of a tangent. But what do you think if the Broncos trade down to pick 22, what's the dream situation there?
The dream situation, I think, is for one of those top corners, edge rushers, and even O-linemen to still be around. I think, you know, I mean, obviously, versus Dallas Turner, probably gone. Could a Leetu Latu drop? Could a Chop Robinson, a favorite of mine, drop?
Yep.
I see those guys in very similar tiers, so it's not a drop-off for me. Joel Olufoshanu, probably gone. You know, could the Washington kids still be around? Could a Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma, a Mims from Georgia still be around? That kind of range for offensive tackles. And then cornerback. some guys you may be interested at 12 could plausibly totally. Still be around at 22, especially Quinyon Mitchell, the Toledo kid, and the two Bama kids, Terrion Arnold, who I absolutely love, and Kool-Aid McKinstry, who maybe is the most naturally talented corner of all of them. So,
yeah, it's pretty crazy. See, Quinyon Mitchell, like, he could be there. He also is he's second on the list of favorites to be the first defensive player drafted now. It's Dallas Turner. Quinyon Mitchell has gotten up that high, then Jared Verse, then Terrion Arnold. So I do think, to me, the cornerbacks are where I'd be tempted. I'd be hoping Terrion Arnold's still there. Those edge rushers, like you said, if Chop Robinson's there, he's a freak. And, you know, you take the freak from Penn State and you think, oh, is this Micah Parsons? And that's a terrible way to think about that player, but it's what comes to mind when you think about it. I think it's also kind of a dead spot to me in a very deep wide receiver class. You know, you've got Brian Thomas there, who's not a bad pick, but it's almost like you got this top group, but then there's also a bunch of guys who say it's a deep class. Go grab one in the second or the third, because in the second you're getting a good guy. In the third, you're getting a guy who's in a lot of classes. Well, classes from 5 years ago, because this happens every year now. Yes. You could be getting a guy who'd be sneaking into the first round.
No, that's exactly right. And I mean, 22 isn't too rich to start thinking of guys like Thomas, guys like Troy Franklin, who I really like. Might be a smidge too rich for my guy Malachi Corley from Western Kentucky, or Keon Coleman, who's dropped off, but not that much. And, like, you know, top interior offensive lineman, you need a new center.
Yep.
That might be a smidge too rich because it is a deep center class, but it also wouldn't be crazy to start addressing that position at that point in the draft because there are some guys who are really good in this year.
And one of those guys, Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon.
Jay.
You could, in theory, trade down, get, you know, maybe a couple first-round picks, 30 and 32, something like that. The same team doesn't have those, so I'm not sure how exactly it'd work. But get Jackson Powers Johnson and Bo Nix. And so your center competition would feature two former Washington centers two Oregon centers in Jackson Powers Johnson and Alex Forsythe, with Bo Nix as the quarterback behind him. Bo Nix being the quarterback who was taking the ball behind both of them. And then the other option is Michael Penix Jr. You also have Luke Wattenberg competing for that center job. Who was his former center. And so you also... Exactly. So you take one of those guys, you're probably going to wind up with chemistry with the center, and then you get into, like, Washington as the three receivers. They're not going to be able to get Odunze, but you could pair Penix with Jalen Polk or with Jalen McMillan, two great receivers, like third-round type guys. Right. Troy Franklin you brought up. I'm not sure if you could trade down enough to get Troy Franklin.
Yeah, that's
the problem. That sweet spot might not be there, but... It's almost in the cards.
Absolutely. I mean, the dream scenario would be a trade down with a team like the Cardinals, who own the 27th and 35th pick.
Exactly. And that's probably dead on value-wise.
You know, look, at 12, we would have got a lot more excited with that guy, but those two guys you can get are just going to really go a long way, I think. And I mean, I think that's where you might be able to get the second best tight end. It's not a rich tight end class.
Yep.
That might be a nice area to address. Maybe you find some really good defensive tackles at that point. You know, we didn't talk like a Brian Murphy. If you move down to 22 and he was still around, a defensive tackle like that, the Texas defensive tackle, Jerzabon Newton, maybe from Illinois. You know, those kind of guys.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move on here and look big picture. You know, wide receivers, that's kind of the story of this draft class. Crazy. There's just so many of them.
It's crazy.
What are some of the other deep groups here?
Thank you for mentioning wide receiver off the top, so I don't have to do that. That just goes without saying nowadays. If it's not deep, we'll tell you. It's a really great center class. It's a really great offensive tackle class. It's a really great quarterback class. So if you're thinking of the premium positions to draft on offense, you're basically covered with wide receiver, offensive tackle, and quarterback. And then you have the bonus that this is a really nice interior O-line class, especially the centers who you like. And there's always, you know, plenty of guys who can be moved inside and kind of give you that versatility. Not a great tight end or running back class. We've covered the offense right there. On defense, it's a pretty good edge rusher class. Might be one of the deeper defensive tackle classes we've had in a minute.
I like a lot of those guys that could be like the 32nd pick. I feel like that's where you hit on Jerzon Newton. There's the Byron Murphy who probably is gone by then, but that seems to be where there's some real depth, and then it kind of drops off maybe.
Yeah, Brandon Fisk, Tavondre Sweat. Yeah. Like there's a handful of guys in that range, you know. So yeah, you're right. It's maybe not even that deep. And it's the cornerback class that I've come around to. So it's a class where the premium positions are looking really nice. It's a class that really reflects modern football and the modern college game. You're not going to find a ton of off-ball linebackers, just like running back is going to be a struggle. The interior D-line, meh. And it does seem to be quite a weak safety class this year.
Yeah, that does seem to be what people are saying. With the running backs, though, you know, this is probably not a position the Broncos are going to go after. Again, we're not going to worry too much about the Broncos' needs right now, just because there's still another couple weeks of free agency, and you guys probably have a good idea of what you think the Broncos need anyway. But the running backs, it seems like there's what, maybe like six guys who could all be the first running back off the board, and they're all. I mean, because of that, first of all, there's nobody who's super dominant, so you're not going to see one in the first round. Because there's so many vying for the top spot, and it could be like the 40th, 45th, 50th pick where you see one off the board, like they could all just kind of push each other down, and you wind up with some guys who should have been maybe second rounders slipping to potentially the fourth round.
No, 100%. And I mean, some of the top guys like Jonathan Brooks and Blake Corum have some injury concerns that might push them down the board. Some of the other guys are maybe smaller, more situation dependent type backs like Trey Benson of Florida State or Bucky Irving of Oregon. So yeah, I think it creates for this really fun little group. And that's another position like wide receiver. You know, you just wait. I think you might be able to pick up a quality guy in the later rounds pretty easily. It feels like in general, this is a really nice class. This is a class that really feeds the premier positions, and this is a class kind of sandwiched in between a 2023 class that wasn't spectacular and a 2025 class that already has some skeptics. So I think it's pretty exciting. It's an exciting year for the Broncos to have their first round pick back, and if you could manage to get a second rounder back, that'd be really nice as well.
Okay, big picture, where do you think the value is? You know, I guess in listening to some of the big guys, Daniel Jeremiah, for example, has brought up a lot about how this is just kind of shallow in general. Like the seventh round is going to be filled with guys who typically just wouldn't get drafted. And there's some different reasons for that. The COVID year being one that still matters, because if you count back from that, we're still a couple years away from that bubble kind of bursting, because you could imagine. So 2020, if you're a freshman, you don't have to count that as a redshirt year. You can count that as a COVID year, because you get that extra year of eligibility. 2021, you get the actual redshirt year. 2022 is your freshman year. 23, sophomore. 24 is your junior.
You're so old. So
you get that sixth year could still be in 2025, which affects the 2026 draft class. So as soon as you get to 2027, COVID doesn't affect things anymore,
but you're still somehow.
So it's just like this weird dynamic, but I guess the question is, do you feel like there's this bubbles just like DJ has kind of brought up where the late rounds, maybe not as much value as before?
That's really interesting. You know, I think you're always going to see some decent value on the later rounds, no matter the year. I just think it's maybe complicated things a little more, made evaluations harder. Mm-hmm. It's prolonged college careers quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, I think if you're astute in picking it, it's giving you more late round gems. I just think they maybe are harder to pick, and you're not picking them the way you may be used to. And you have to, like, in your evaluations, you have to overlook some things you wouldn't have necessarily overlooked in years past, you know, like age or the fact that production only came later in their career at a third stop, stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, we're almost out of time here, but I'm curious. Yeah. So first of all, first round, Broncos probably go quarterback. Third round, we kind of talked, that could be a sneaky spot for receiver. Any other positions where you say there's some like overflow talent at that point in the draft?
Early third, I think, is where you might still be able to find an offensive tackle that's dropped.
Okay. Like starting caliber, potentially, right?
Right, right. That's certainly true of an interior offensive lineman, mm-hmm. where you could find a guy who's pretty high caliber. And then I think edge and cornerback might still be able to give you something by that point. And all those guys, they're going to be a bit more limited. You know, they're going to be a little more situation dependent. But if you find the right guy for your situation, you might just find a gem.
Definitely. And then last one, the big hot spot for the Broncos, they get the 135th pick, 144th pick, 146th pick, all in the fifth round. Again, this probably is just prime position to take a receiver who's undervalued. Any other real strengths of the class that you think are playing out at that point?
What round are we in, sorry?
Fifth round. I imagine it's probably pretty much the same because you just keep pushing guys down. There's nothing really that stands out there, though.
I think that's where running back might start to be a little more valuable. I think that's where some of these guys, like for whatever reason, a couple of these top 10 running backs may still be around by that point, and that's where I think I'd be very intrigued by just taking one, you know.
Okay.
That's where you start to see more value for linebacker too. Like, oh yeah, that's a decent fifth round guy. Safety too, you know.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, last question before we get out of here. Jumping back to quarterbacks, for their value, who's your depth guy? You know, is it Michael Pratt? Seems like a third rounder. Spencer Rattler seems like third rounder. You know,
that's good.
I'm kind of a Joe Milton guy, especially considering he's like a fourth, fifth rounder.
I mean, give him to Sean Payton in a Taysom Hill role. What could Joe Milton do? That'd be tons of fun. I was in on Sam Hartman for a smidge there, but that didn't quite work out at the Senior Bowl.
Need a little bit bigger arm
with his arm. Why not go Jordan Travis, the Florida State quarterback?
Ooh, that's a fun one.
Obviously a devastating injury. Obviously, I don't think the level of caliber of arm quite as far as like deep strength and zip and the level of athlete. But he's got the size. He's got some nice poise to him. He's got some good ability to operate out of the pocket and just like send it and have you know, he in some ways he looked to me like a less athletic Dak Prescott. You know, thinking of Dak back in the Mississippi State days. Well, now less athletic Dak Prescott might not mean much to you, but I think in the later rounds, given the injury as a developmental prospect, you could do worse for sure.
All right. That'll do it for today. Make sure you guys give this a thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube. We really appreciate please. That. For those of you, we get a bunch of new people for the draft podcast this time of year. Once a week, all the way up through draft day. And who knows, maybe we'll do a couple bonus episodes once we get closer.
Right.
But get ready for this. Make sure you're ready to send in some questions also. We're going to be getting in the nitty gritty, going through all the positions, all that sort of stuff over the next month and a half. So appreciate you guys for listening, and we'll see you again next week.